being in a life group impacts people's lives. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The truth is, life group members feel closer to God. They understand the Bible better. They trust God more. And they become more loving in their relationships. I came across an article in Facts and Trends. It was written in 2014 that talked about small groups in the church setting. And here are some statistics that they found in their study. 63% of regular life group attenders say they intentionally spend time with other believers in order to help them grow in their faith. Whereas non-attenders, it's only 22% that say that. 73% of life group attenders say they are intentionally putting their spiritual gifts to work serving God and others. Whereas only 42% say that of non-attenders. 79% of churchgoers who belong to a life group are more likely to go to church at least 4 times a month and to read the Bible daily, whereas it drops to almost 28% of non-attenders. You see, God has supernaturally ordained community to sanctify his people. We saw that. We talked about it last week in Acts chapter 2, how the church came together in community. Ed Steitzer and Eric Geiger, in their book, Transformational Groups, say this. In other words, groups provide environments for people to grow in Christ. A call to discipleship and spiritual maturity is a call to biblical community. So here's what I wanted to do. I want to talk about some reasons why we should be getting into a life group. The first one is this. Why? Because we need it. We were made for it. Right? So I hear it, Pastor Chris, I've been studying my Bible and following God a long time. I don't need a bunch of people to hold me down. Or I'm doing fine on my own, right? I like to do my daily devotion, or I spend time in the Word. I really just don't feel it's necessary to get in a life group. Well, you may not see the need to join a life group. You may not need a life group, but if you're at that level with God, if you feel that you have surpassed those, guess what? There's a life group that needs you in it. You can bring all of that spiritual maturity into that life group. We would love for that to happen, because here's the thing. We need that community. God's word says this, and I shared this with some life group leaders. This is a scripture, Genesis 2:18, that I normally use at weddings. It's this. Then the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make for him a helper fit for him. We often have heard that at weddings, and that's the truth. Praise the Lord for our spouses. I think that every day. She generally talks me off the ledge or says go left when I was thinking about going right. And we hear that scripture sometimes, and we think that it's only applied in marriage. But here's the truth. If God spoke it, that we need helpers, what he's really saying is it's not good for you to be alone. God wants community for us. And we need life groups. You know, I remember I went to 4 different high schools growing up. And my junior year, I made the mistake of not playing football. I decided that I was going to work. And so I worked. I did play baseball in the spring, but by that time it was too late. I started making some friends just in time to go ahead and move. So I decided the summer that we moved from New York to Germany, my dad was in the military, so we were getting stationed over there. As I said, you know what, Dad, here's what I'm going to do. I didn't play football last year, and I just felt like I started the school year and I was alone. And it was tough to build friendships. And everywhere you move, if you're the only Army kid, they've been going to school together since they were in kindergarten. And you're trying to come in and just fit in. And the tough thing is, it's tough to try to fit in. Well, it's the same way in church. It's the same way in church. Sometimes people walk in and they want community, they want to be a part. And it's just tough to break into the cliques that might be forming or the groups. And it's tough. Church can be as tough as a junior going to his senior year of just wanting to connect and not being able to. So what I did is my senior year, I went out for football. We arrived in Germany at about 11 o'clock, and where they were going to position us was right over the football field. And so I saw the guys practicing. Now remember, you know, you go on an international flight, and you haven't slept all night because they have all those movies, right? And I just went down. I said, hey, coach, my name's Chris. I'm just moving in. I'm going to go sleep, but I wanted to let you know maybe in a couple days I'm going to come try out for the football team. And he said, if you want to play on my football team, go ahead and get ready to run right now. Well, my family slept, and I was running and vomiting. But here's what I really want you to know besides that part of the story. When I started my school year that year, I had 70 friends automatically. I had 70 guys that automatically, my sisters started, they didn't know anybody. But I started with 70 guys that we were running all summer, push-ups and hitting and craziness. And guess what? I was invited to birthday parties and get-togethers and all this stuff in the first week of school. Why? Because I got connected. And man, I will tell you, my junior year was tough because all I remember is just trying to fit in and not really being able to, whereas my senior year was the greatest year because I started off connected. And let me tell you, as a church body, if you're here and you're finding it's a tough way to get connected, like trying to get into these groups and you're looking for somebody possibly to go to lunch with after church, I'm telling you, the answer is to try out for the football. No. The answer is to get in a life group because we need it. We need it. And guess what? You automatically have all of those folks. You're going to know them intimately. You're going to have immediate connections in church. And we're going to be able to do life together and have community. Amen? The second reason is this. For Christian accountability. I loved on the video. The only one he wanted accountability was his CPA. You have great financial accountability. But you know, we need that as Christians too. You know what, Pastor Chris? I've tried this life group thing, and I'm just not able to connect. Take a look at Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. We have to be intentional about it. As much as you want to be a part of the Connect group wants you to be a part of them. Carolyn Custis James wrote this, when life and beliefs collide, and this is a part of that Christian accountability. She says this, life comes in stiff doses. When it does, and we are crushed or shattered or stretched beyond our limits, we need to surround ourselves with good friends who will encourage us and help us. But at the end of the day, it won't be their theology that we lean on. How much they know God, how much they know of the Bible, how much they read every day. No. It's our knowledge of God and that he is good and he is still on the throne is the only thing that will keep us going. And those friends are there to remind us of that. We need that kind of accountability. You know, many of you know, I have a lifelong dream of being a runner. And I struggle with running. Like, I'll do good for like a month and then I fall off and, you know. It's tough to convince myself to get up at like 5:30 in the morning. Has anybody ever been there? So what I've done is I want to create some accountability. And my brother-in-law actually is a lifelong soccer player. And you know, the terrible thing about soccer players is it doesn't matter how bad out of shape they are, they can still run 6-minute miles. And so I pretty much hate him for that reason. But I called him and I said, hey, I want to be like, I want to run this. And so I said, hey, let's meet like in the mornings at my house. And he would show up at my house at 6 a.m. And we would run around my neighborhood. And what I want you to know is by myself, I would not get up out of bed. But because I know this lifelong soccer player Mexican guy was going to be knocking on my door at 6 a.m., I was kind of like, well, I better get up. And we ran for a good while till we quit. So now we need more accountability. We're asking my other brother-in-law. So on Monday at 6 o'clock, the three of us are going to be running. But, you know, we get that, right? It's easier to work out with a partner. It's easier to have somebody that's like, oh, I don't want to get up, but they're going to be waiting on me. And I don't want to answer his texts all day of why I'm lazy and the truth is in that small group, I have accountability and I will run more and farther with them That principle also applies to us in Christianity. If you create a small group that will hold you accountable, guess what? You're going to go farther and you're going to do more for God. Not because you can't on your own. Look, if you think you can do it, I get it. But I'm just telling you, those days that you're talking yourself out of it, that life group is there to remind you that people are counting on you as much as you're counting on them, and you're going to do more for God. And so that scripture is this: and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And when you come together in a life group, that's the consideration is, hey, how can we do this together? How can we encourage one another? How can we do good works? Right? Because life groups are there for Christian accountability. The next thing is life groups build the body. Well, Pastor Chris, I get what you're saying. I hear you. But I've been hurt before. And I try to just keep my distance. I hear you. You know, the challenge with church is we're a bunch of hurt people who often hurt people. But here's what I really want to challenge you with is to practice forgiveness for those that hurt you before. And don't allow that to impact your future interactions and relationships. Because the truth is, everybody sitting in here, you're not a bunch of people who've all figured it out. You've figured out one thing, that you need Jesus every day. And we are products of forgiveness. And so I want to challenge you. This is how God wants to build the body. He has designed community for us to be a body, to encourage one another, and to do more for him, to advance the kingdom. And when we hurt each other, and we're going to, we say, Lord, I give that to you. Lord, help me to forgive that person. And if you need to, find another life group. But don't let it stop you from having community, which you were designed for. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 20 says this, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. You know, that's another thing. Is some folks, they're saying, well, Chris, I want to be the life group leader. Don't worry, we'll have you signed up leading a life group today. Or some say, you know what, I'm not the one that really engages in conversation. Or I like to maybe sit back and kind of contemplate the conversation, and that really ministers to me. Or, you know what, I may not be the best in discussion, but I'm really good at making apple pie and just loving on people. Or you know what I'm really good about? I'm really good at sending out emails to encourage people. Or you know what? I'm really good at visiting people in the hospital. I'm really good at remembering birth dates and anniversaries. I'm really good. And you see, we're all gifted in different ways. If we were all elbows, think about how funny the body would look. Or noses or ears. You know, we are all gifted uniquely. And when you withhold your unique giftedness, the body of Christ is doing without. Of all those things, could you imagine walking around with no nose or no ear or no elbow? But this scripture says God has uniquely done each one. But in fact, God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. You were made uniquely you for a very specific reason, to minister to the whole body. You know, one time, I remember going to college, and I went to a Christian university, and I wanted to be a worship leader. Yeah, worship leaders, like, got all the chicks. And so I thought, you know, this will be cool. I'll play a guitar, maybe grow my hair out, and I'll just lead worship. You know, I got a guitar, I took some lessons, I had it down, like I was going to be a worship leader, but there was only one problem. I couldn't really play, and I'm not a very good singer. So I thought, well, my ministry is over. But it was actually in a life group that I realized I have an insatiable appetite for God's word. And I love how from Genesis to Revelation, it is the greatest love story ever told of our condition. Of our condition, where we are. And if it wasn't for the love of this guy that is crazy about us, we would be completely lost. But he sent his son. And let me tell you, I can get louder and I can get passionate about the word of God. If we do any song outside of GCD, I'm lost. But let me tell you, I can get in there with the best of them with the word of God. And if they start talking about something I don't know in the word of God, I'm going to take them to someplace I do know. But I'm excited because Jesus came and gave his life for me. But it was in a life group when I was 20 years old. I started teaching. I didn't know anything about the Bible. But I found out that I was fascinated by it. And it was in a life group that I realized, hey, Chris, you may not be called to be a worship leader, but there's a darn good chance God's calling you to be a pastor. And I'm telling you, I discovered unique gifts that God had given me in a life group. And let me tell you, loving one another, showing hospitality for each other, caring for one another, reaching out to each other. Let me tell you, there's a lot of gifts that many of us could discover that God has uniquely gifted us for, to encourage the body and to build up the body. Life groups build the body. The next one, when we participate in life groups, we are on mission. We are on mission. Like, we have one eternity is coming, and our job is to get as many people that will step into the non-smoking section of eternity as we can. Well, Pastor Chris, I'm busy. I was passing Carl Barton today, and I saw all the flags. They've got new seasons going on, and they were about to start games. I'm like, it's 9:30. Why aren't you people in church? But I get it. We have kiddos, and they're constantly putting schedules on Sundays, and they're constantly having practices all during the week, and then forget it if you actually want to do something, right? If let's say you don't have two really cool brother-in-laws that'll show up at your house at 6, you're going to try to go to like Orange Theory or Gold's Gym or any of these places. You're going to try to work out, right? Then you've got all these things that you're wanting to try to accomplish. So we just run out of time, right? Pastor Chris, I'm just out of time. Life's so busy. If you do not feel that you have time to connect to others on a deeper level, can I get you uncomfortable for just a second? Then it's time to be true in answering, who and what are you devoting your time to? Growing in God does not happen in a Burger King. You have it your way. You've got to grow doing it God's way. And let me tell you, it is through his word. It is through us encouraging one another and building each other up. God wants us to be in life group because he wants us to be on mission for him, to be about his business, to see people get saved, to see people grow in their relationship with him. It's about Jesus, it's for Jesus, and it's through Jesus. And in a life group, it keeps us on point. It keeps our perspective where it needs to be. We need to be in that accountable collected group. Matthew 28:19 says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, "teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." You know, too often we forget this commandment. This is something that is for each and every one of us to go and make disciples. If we are a church that is about church, we are not about God's business. What I mean is you can be so busy that all you're doing is creating busy to keep the busy going. There's only one real objective that we have as a church, and that's to make disciples. God wants us to make disciples. That means going and finding friends and family and getting them here and encouraging them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And then you and I, we have to disciple ourselves too. Because you're ineffective if you don't know. You're ineffective if you're not created to the one power source. We need to be on mission with God. And life group is one of those exciting ways that we stay accountable to staying on mission. You know, I came across a story of fifth columnist. I had never heard this term before, fifth columnist. Have you ever heard it? Yeah, it's strange. It's a military term, fifth columnist. Most militaries, especially the Spanish army in the 1800s and before, would march in four columns. But they had a term. It was the fifth column. And here's what they would do with the fifth column. Those people would move into a town that they were planning to attack a year earlier. And those people, they would get into the jobs and they would get into the communities and they would get themselves well planted. So that on that day when the four columns would be marching against the town, they would begin to wreak havoc in the areas where they were, and the whole thing would get kind of crazy, unorganized, and the Spanish army would just come marching on through with very little resistance. And you know, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, that's not too different than what God has for us to do. You see, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And God wants us to get connected and well engrossed in the areas where he's planted us. And let me tell you, when the Spirit of God shows up, we need to already be wreaking havoc of praying for people and sharing Jesus with people, so that when the column of God shows up, there's been already somebody there doing the work already. You see, we've been sent to be fifth columns. We've been sent to go ahead and do the work of God in our workplaces, in our families. I know, I get it. You've probably got a family that anytime you mention the name of Jesus, they all do that. Oh, but that doesn't mean you can't be praying for them every day. In your workplace, you may not even be able to say the name of Jesus. I remember working at a bank, and a lady walked up to me and said, "You need to take that down." It was on a lady's desk. It was just a simple sign that said Jesus. And I thought, not on your life. But I remember the feeling of, are you serious? We can't even have a little sign that says Jesus? But let me tell you, I did more weddings and funerals. They knew me as the guy at Wells Fargo. If somebody died, they called me. If somebody was getting married, they called me. But you know what? They also called me when they were going through tough times. They would also call me for prayer. They would also call me for counseling. And I had a ministry at the bank because I was a fifth columnist. I was there to let people know that I was a representative of Jesus and I was going to permeate the whole culture. Guys, we need to stay on mission. You see, eternity is coming. The Lord is coming back. And we have a job to do. And being a part of a life group helps us stay focused. It helps us stay on the narrow way. The narrow way, that thing that keeps the sharp focus that Jesus Christ is the only way. And lastly this, why life groups? Because Jesus had a life group. Take a look at this, Matthew 5, 1 through 2. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. We find this scripture in the context of the multitudes were coming to Jesus, but he withdrew to be in a small group. But this isn't the only example. See, this is, we have life groups because we're trying to follow the example set by Jesus Christ of doing ministry in small groups. When God came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, he chose a group to do ministry with, the 12. At the wedding of Cana, he had a small group to celebrate with. When he fed the hungry, he was on mission in his small group. When many fell away from the following him, Jesus had a small group that remained with him. When he broke bread, he did it in a small group. When he was struggling at Gethsemane, he called his small group to pray with him. Jesus, God in the flesh, had a small group to experience life together with. Think about that. We need a life group because Jesus said, hey, this is how you do it. Of anybody that could have done it alone, Jesus could have gone alone, but he chose to do ministry and to have around him a small group. We need small groups. We need small groups. It holds us accountable. We stay on mission with God. And we need to do it because Jesus did it.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.